barely 3 months ago that I had the privilege of leading our celebration of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. It was a wonderful occasion, not too many miles from here. And so I think it is with a somewhat heavy heart that I'm speaking today, and maybe some of you share some of the same emotions. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to mourn and a time to dance. And it's right that we do contemplate the loss of someone who, for most of us, has been a constant, unchanging beacon of light for most, if not all, of our ever-changing lives. But it's also something to celebrate, a life of humility, a life of service, a life of dedication, and a life of faith. And I know Roger will have more to say about that later on. A life well lived, a shining example to us all. There are not enough superlatives to do justice to the magnitude of what she's done, what she's meant to so many people for so long. The Queen's broken virtually every record in the book. The oldest monarch, the longest reign, the most countries visited, the most heads of state met, the most laws approved, the most state openings of parliament. Her reign has seen 15 prime ministers, from Sir Winston Churchill, born in 1874, well before the end of the 19th century, of course, in the days of Queen Victoria, to Liz Truss, born 101 years later, the same year as me, appointed just 2 days before the Queen died, working tirelessly from youth to the end of her long life. The Queen's experience, knowledge, and wisdom was unsurpassed. And yet, despite her riches, despite her privileged position, despite her knowledge, she lived her life always with grace and dignity and humour, and a genuine interest and concern and compassion for other people. I think she was a gift to our nation, to the Commonwealth, and a gift to the whole world. And I think we see that with all the love and affection that's been expressed over these last few days, and no doubt will continue to be so. Even for so many who've never met her, they still feel that she's touched their lives. You know, the closest I ever came to the Queen was during her Golden Jubilee celebrations back in 2002, 20 years ago now. I was lucky enough to be able to attend the classical concert they had in the gardens of Buckingham Palace. And I could see the Queen watching from a constructed stands, and there was a royal box there, not too far away. But of course, you know, she was kind of relatively small and in the distance. I didn't get to meet her in person. And I saw her as well a couple of days later. We went to the Mall, and I saw her when she appeared with the family on the balcony at Buckingham Palace. But I'd never met her in person. She was still, to me, a somewhat distant figure. So if I'm honest, it's surprised me a little when I found myself shedding a few tears over the past couple of days. And I think maybe many people have felt the same. Even from afar, the Queen has reached into our hearts. I'd like to read the thought for the week for this week, which comes from this week from Peter Mill. And he writes this. Hello. The news this week has been dominated by two remarkable women. But the inauguration of Liz Truss as the new UK Prime Minister was hugely eclipsed by the sudden death of the nation's beloved Queen. Like many, I'm sure, my wife and I sat glued to the television as the tributes poured in. She was the rock upon which modern Britain was built, a source of reassurance, constant and steadfast. She possessed the wisdom of the world's most experienced diplomat. She epitomised duty and decency and tolerance. It is hard to imagine Britain without her. Elizabeth II was known everywhere for her moral code, her humility and kindness, but perhaps most of all, for the strength of her Christian faith. Underpinning everything she did, the Queen demonstrated a deep commitment to her King, her Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. In a historic speech at the beginning of the pandemic on the 5th of April 2020, she said, "We should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again. We'll meet again. Our noble Queen's faith is her guarantee of that. Best wishes, Peter Mill." think part of the reason the Queen has meant such a lot to people is because she's been a reassuring constant presence when everything else around us is in turmoil. She's lived through momentous change from the Great Depression and World War II to the space race, the internet, and the first global pandemic for 100 years. When the Queen came to the throne, rationing was still in place. Very few people had TVs. In fact, the coronation was the first kind of large-scale TV event in history. No one had been to the moon. The Beatles hadn't been invented. And England hadn't even won the World Cup. The very first computers were just starting to be built, filling entire buildings and yet far less powerful than your mobile phone. But at the same time, it was still only the beginnings of independence from empire and the start of multinational Britain. All monumental changes that the Queen navigated with her characteristic charm and steadfastness. Perhaps we're unsettled by the loss of this huge constant in our changing world. But if we reflect on how she was able to keep going in that same way, with that same sense of service and duty, no matter what problems and pain befell her and her family, you know, even right to the end when clearly she was struggling with those mobility problems and walking with a stick, no doubt in some pain, right to the end, we realised that it was possible because she looked somewhere else for strength. She looked to an even greater source of constancy, security and hope. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. So as we mourn the loss of a great leader, a great role model, a great servant, I think we can be encouraged by the Christian faith that guided and empowered her throughout her long and productive life. John chapter 6 and verse 40 says this: "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him or her up at the last day." So I believe it is indeed true for both Her Majesty and for us that our mourning will once again turn to a time of dance. There have been many moving and eloquent tributes by politicians and others over the last couple of days. I'm sure you've heard some of them. I was particularly taken by the words of the former Prime Minister Theresa May in the House of Commons yesterday. By the way, if you haven't heard her cheese story yet, I'd encourage you to check that one out later. I'm not going to share that now. But she concluded her speech with these words: "This is indeed a sad day, but it is also a day of celebration for a life well spent in the service of others." There have been many words of tribute and superlatives used to describe Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, but these are not hype. They are entirely justified. She was our longest serving monarch. She was respected around the world. She united our nation in times of trouble. She joined in our celebrations with joy and a mischievous smile. She gave an example to us all of faith, of service, of duty, of dignity, and of decency. She was remarkable, and I doubt we will ever see her like again. May she rest in peace and rise in glory. Our National Ministry Leader, Gavin Henderson, has also written some thoughts yesterday, which I'd like to share. He sends these to our ministers and congregational leaders, but I think in this case they're intended really for everyone. And he starts by quoting a poem entitled "For My Queen" by Susan Jarvis Bryant. And the heading is "Queen Elizabeth Alexandra Mary Windsor, April 21st, 1926 to September the 8th, 2022. My symbol of nobility, stability and grace, who reigned and never ruled my constant caring face. On TV screen, on stamps, in scenes of history's changing view, has slipped away this solemn day, her time to bid adieu. The only monarch I have loved, the only queen I've known, this stalwart soul my heart embraced as family of my own, has left the throne for greater realms beyond the fuss and fray. She's left me with a wealth of wondrous memories at play. So on this day I'd like to say, dear Lilibet, goodbye. My one and only gracious queen, please hear my grateful cry. You shone with poise and dignity and honour and respect in times when truth had lost its way and hope was all but wrecked. By those who never saw the light in eyes that blazed as bright as anthems sung in notes that rose like Windsor swans in flight. And then Gavin says this. I am sure that most of you, like me, are struggling to come to terms with the death of Queen Elizabeth II. For so many of us, she has been the only monarch we have known, and throughout her reign, she was a reassuring constant in our lives. It is difficult to fathom buying a stamp that will not have her silhouette on it, or paying with a banknote that does not feature her likeness. But it is not just her image that will be missed. It is the way she conducted herself, the virtues she's exemplified for us as Queen. She was hardworking, devoted, kind, patient, loving, and most importantly, she was faithful. Faithful to her King, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In her 2012 Christmas address, the Queen said, "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only Son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the centre of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ." I am struck by how much Queen Elizabeth took this to heart. Despite the wealth, privilege, and power she had, she sought to serve instead of being served. I thank God for her service to the United Kingdom, to the Commonwealth, but most importantly, I thank God for her Christian witness. I pray that in this time of mourning, those who are inspired by her life will in turn come to understand who is the source of her inspiration, that through her life and example, they will come to know Jesus Christ. The Queen's passing means that this week we do not just have a new Prime Minister, but we now also have a new King. Both positions are challenging roles, so let us not neglect to pray that our leaders govern with wisdom, with love, and with respect for all people, so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Quoting from 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, and we'll read that in a moment. And he concludes, "Warmest regards from Sinead and me, Gavin Henderson." So as Gavin says, we should think not only of the Queen, but also of our new monarch, King Charles III, formally proclaimed this very morning. Some of you may have seen that. We should pray for God's blessing and guidance and wisdom upon him as he takes on the burdens of responsibility and servanthood when he is already himself advancing in years. Our earthly leaders are here only because it's within God's will and grace he permits it. So it's right, I think, that we honour, respect and pray for them always. So I'd just like to read the passage that Gavin referred to there in 1 Timothy 2 and verses 1 and 2. It says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And then verses 3 and 4 go on to say this: this is good and pleases God our Saviour. You know, when we pray for the kings and those in authority, when we live peaceful and quiet lives, it's good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So there's a link here, I think, between our King, the way we live our lives, and the sharing of faith and hence salvation. I think that's the point Gavin was making, that in the example of our Queen and hopefully going forward with our King, that there is a door then into faith for others too. So I would in a moment like to offer a prayer of reflection and thanksgiving on behalf of us all. Just before we do that, there's one other weekly announcement that I'll just share. National Zoom prayer meetings. This is submitted by Sinead Henderson and Jackie Mill. It says, just a reminder that this coming Wednesday, we will be hosting the men's and women's national prayer meetings on Zoom, with both groups happening simultaneously at 7:30 p.m. Feel free to join us by following the green button UK prayer meetings on the homepage of our website, and that's www.gracecom.church, and perhaps another opportunity for reflection and prayer this coming Wednesday. So let's take a moment of silence, first of all, to reflect personally on the life of Her Majesty the Queen, and then I'll offer a prayer on behalf of us all. Eternal Father in heaven, Almighty God, we come before you today, thoughtful and thankful for the life and the reign of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, who has died at the advanced age of 96, but nevertheless has come quite suddenly in these last few days. Father, help us to appreciate fully the magnitude of what she has meant for the peace, the freedom, the hope that we have as a country, for her contribution to both our national life and the life of all the nations around the world where she has been the head of state or has been a leader through the Commonwealth, for her example, for her dedication, for her service, and above all, Father, today, for her faith, Father, that she genuinely saw her life of service as ordained by you and looked to you and to Jesus Christ as the source of her strength, her steadfastness, her consistency, her constancy through all those years, Father. From a young age when she made a vow that she would give her entire life to the service of this country at the age of just 21, to over 70 years later, Father, continuing to work up until just 2 days before she died. Father, help us to appreciate, to take inspiration from, to live out some of those same values in our own lives, Father. Please be with the Queen's family at this time as they grieve and they mourn her passing, as they go through their own emotions, but nevertheless have to take on the baton of responsibility to pick up and continue, Father, to give the leadership that we need as a country, as a people, and Father, in a very difficult and very changing world. Father, we, as we look to the future, we pray now your blessing on our new King, Charles III, who takes on this momentous task that he's been preparing for almost his entire life, for 70 years, Father, now 73 years old. We pray now that you will grant him wisdom. You will grant him faith. You will grant him strength and energy and commitment and dedication, Father, just as his mother has shown for all of this time. We pray for his wife, his son, all of the family around him as they seek to support him. We pray as well for our new Prime Minister at this time, Elizabeth Truss. She's just taken on this role and immediately is faced with this new situation. Please encourage her, strengthen her, give her wisdom at this time and help her to be able to work effectively with our new monarch as she seeks to govern our country going forward from here. So, Father, we just thank you again for all the blessings that have flowed from the reign of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Whether in our personal lives or through others that we have known or just more generally in the society and the world that we live in, we know that she has touched so many people. Father, we thank you for that. We pray that you'll be with everyone as they go through their own personal emotions at this time. And we pray, Father, that we, like her, can look forward to the time to come, the time to dance, when all those who look to you, who look to your son, Father, will celebrate together again at that eternal banquet in heaven that we all look forward to. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory now, and we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord, our Saviour, our servant, and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.